You're listening to Island Life on Waiheke Radio, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, brought to you with the support of the Humble Pie Village Butchery. And for the first time since the election, the local body elections, I'm joined by local board chair Paul Warden. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, listeners.
And congratulations on re-election and your re-election also to the chair role.
Yeah, thanks.
So let's start off with that, because we've got a different kind of situation happening with the chairing of the local board in this term, haven't we?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, so we've broken the chair's role up into two 18-month roles. So I'll be chairing the board for the first 18 months, and Kath Hanley will be taking over the reins and chairing for the second 18 months. So, yeah, it's quite a pragmatic sort of a solution. We had a bit of a contest happening for who was going to do the chair. And, you know, there was certainly a willingness to, you know, get some sort of an outcome that, you know, could demonstrate to the community that we were, as a board, committed to working together for the good of the community. So that's, yeah, it's a good thing, yeah.
So in the last term, we also had some agreements around changing of roles, the deputy chair role.
Yeah, we did.
And when it came to the time, that caused quite a lot of dispute.
Yeah, well, you know, like the benefit of experience, really, you know, we made sure that these arrangements were covered off by resolution at that first board meeting. So, you know, there's no ifs and buts and questions. Yep.
So during the election period, you know, I think there was probably, you know, some fairly, what's the word? But, you know, some strong opinions put about from different candidates, you and Kath Hanley, who are going to be sharing the role. I mean, she didn't have a lot to say in your favour, actually, in the lead up to the election. How's that settling in since you've both been elected and both now in a leadership role?
Oh, look, it's early days. You know, I have to say that, you know, everyone on the board is being very civil and nice. And that's a good thing. I mean, there is a reality. We're beyond an election campaign. We've got 3 years in which we need to be establishing what we can, you know, collectively support and achieve, and you know, for the community and with the community. You know, so I think, you know, the campaign, yeah, it was a brutal campaign, actually. You know, but it's gone, you know, and so we're in this space now. We've got to make the most of it, you know. But it is a very different ball. There is some certainly, if the campaign was anything to go by, you know, there are some contests and ideologies which are going to come up at you know, on occasion throughout the next 3 years. So, you know, that being said, you know, I can put my hand on my heart and say that I'm on a board with you know, five intelligent, committed, cohesive people. So, you know, we're all adults, and, you know, we do have a good process, you know, outlined in the Act, you know, the Local Government Act, in which we can not reconcile differences, but we can articulate differences of opinion. And you know, so we've put a little bit of effort into getting a better understanding around that for all the members. So, yeah.
So the work program, I mean, there'll be some things that are a continuation of the work the last board was doing, and some things where you might set off a new direction or set some new priorities. And I know you have to go through the process of setting your plan. It seems to take almost until the end of the term to do that.
That's interesting. Yeah.
You must have had some early discussions around priorities and direction.
Yeah, look, interestingly, I mean, with the benefit of the last 5 years on the board, what's become very apparent to me, you know, more so, you know, as we're all aware as a community, that a lot of the budgets that were there are no longer there for the local boards. And so a lot of what we're able to achieve is by making sure that council officers that are doing work, you know, it might be maintenance or renewals work, are actually doing work and adding stuff in to, you know, give outcomes to the community. So actually the local board plan, which is the planning process that we're going to hit next year, is a really, really important document. And that's sort of, you know, it's sort of the you know, the Bible, I suppose, for the organisation. You've got this massive machine with 10,000 staff and, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of, you know, work teams and programs and all that sort of thing. So they need to have something that they can go to, and that's really where the work needs to go as a board. And, you know, absolutely there's some areas where there's going to be a shift in priorities. I mean, I'm, you know, grateful that for the last 3 years, we with respect to our our very small transport fund, that was absolutely prioritised for active transport for walking and cycling improvements. I don't know that we're going to be looking at that for the next 3 years. You know, we've done some good things, but that's going to shift. You know, we have worked very hard over the last 3 years and managed to get into a space of actually getting some strategic planning happening at Matete. And I will be bitterly disappointed for our community if we can't get to a space soon that we're actually doing some practical things at Matete to ease congestion in all sorts of ways, with parking, congestion for people picking up and dropping off, congestion for tour operators that are running businesses out of Matete. So, you know, but the reality is that some of that strategic work that we've been doing is going to, you know, get to the point that we've got a plan that we need to deliver and then have to think about how we fund it. So that is going to absolutely have an effect on reprioritising, you know, what we're doing with our board's money. And that's a good thing, actually, because we're going to be tackling some real issues. And I think it's really important, and also it's a good thing that, you know, there is, you know, some... Maybe a different representation, you know, that some of the new board members have articulated around priorities at Matete. And it's really important that those are aired properly and considered and put into the mix, because we don't want to wind up in a position as we have in the past, you know, where the directional plan was adopted back in 2009 and straight away we had a community group by virtue of the ferry users group of the day that, you know, that at that stage went and did some independent work and came up with a different ideology as to what we should be doing at Matete. And the result of that conversation is that nothing's happened. You know, so here we are 6 years later trying to get that whole strategic planning process back on the table. So we can't afford to finish this and actually not have agreed a plan as a community as to where we're going. And so for all of those reasons, it's good that we've got some contested ideologies there. Yeah.
There'll also be some contested, more specific projects as well, won't there? I mean, you've got, you know, things like the pool, for example, which was a high priority for the last board.
Yep.
You know, where does something like that sit now?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting one. I mean, I've sort of parked that myself at this point in time. And, you know, actually there is a huge amount of capacity building's not the right term, but, you know, getting to grips with an enormous amount of information which Kath and Bob are going through at the moment. And so it wouldn't be right for me or for anyone else on the board to be launching forward with, you know, all sorts of plans and projects and proposals until they're in a headspace to actually understand the landscape as far as, you know, planning processes and budgets and all that sort of thing. So, you know, there is another reality for me that, you know, the last 3 years was an absolute mad 3 years. It was very busy. We, you know, really did exhaust ourselves as a board. And so, I'm looking forward to Christmas and getting a bit of a break and getting a bit of perspective. You know, there's a whole lot of, you know, direction for me which absolutely shifts, you know, when you've got a shift in the makeup in the board. So things which you presumed you might be able to continue with, well, you can't presume that now, you know. And that's not to say they're not going to happen, but there actually needs to be a process through, you know, and some time for the board members to understand each other's aspirations. And that, you know, that will happen organically over the next, you know, couple of months as we're getting into annual plan processes and then local board plan processes. So
one of the other things that I suppose that didn't feature in the election and perhaps is coming up now is this Kennedy Point Marina proposal. Yep. Now, two boards ago, the perception of the board's involvement or lack of involvement in the Matiatia Marina proposal, yep, probably led to the, you know, to those people not being re-elected. You know, it was highly contentious. So this coming up, already, you know, the lines are starting to be drawn in the sand around it. Where do you see the board sitting in a process like that?
So, you look, just to be clear, you know, I think if you were to reflect back on the Matete Marina and the position that the board took, in my opinion, the board fell down and that they didn't advocate for some robust democratic process And so we had a developer which was determined to push this thing past the Democratic Council hearings process and into the Environment Court. And there was an opportunity there for the board to intervene and say, hang on a minute, this should be done differently, and they didn't. They had the opportunity and they chose not to. So, you know, I think there is certainly some learnings that the present proponent of the marina has taken out of the last hearing, and they seem to be a lot more open about the process that they're following. They've been upfront from the outset that it'll be a publicly notified hearings process. The board, at least, I guess in one sense, yes, you know, they're doing a good thing in that they've been up front, they've had some public engagement, they've had a little bit of a think about how the marina can, you know, provide some benefit back to the community. They've set a benchmark to start with and said, this is going to be the most environmentally friendly marina in New Zealand. And that's the starting point of their conversation before they go through a hearings process. So there's a whole lot of good stuff there. I've got to say that I'm a little bit uncomfortable about the timing of their application, and that it's been dumped in, you know, a few weeks before Christmas when actually you can't find a planner or a lawyer to do anything much. And so, you know, you've got a community scrambling to actually digest and process a really complex
document. So do you see the board being more active in promoting... You know, promoting input and democratic process.
Yeah, look as we can. You know, it is really difficult. I mean, we resolved to go to talk to the planning committee and council last week. You know, to ask them to extend the period of time that the application's up for submission. Well, you know, we were denied that simple, you know, pleasure of even going and talking to that committee, you know. So actually having a say is pretty difficult in some places in Auckland Council, you know, and especially around planning. You know, we've obviously got another contest happening around the rural urban boundary at the moment. And for our community just to have a say, we've got to go to the Blinken High Court, you know. It's just nuts. So this is not going to be easy. So, you know, absolutely the board will be doing its darndest to make sure, you know, that the interests of our community are looked after, and that's going to happen in a number of ways. There's certainly a commitment across all board members to be supportive of some robust engagement around the marina. Reflecting on it the other day, I mean, this is the biggest development proposal that Waiheke's seen since Stony Batter, actually. It's huge. Massive. So, you know, it's a big public piece of infrastructure. It's all public open space. You know, unquestionably, there's arguably some benefits that come with it. But that needs to be, you know, actually balanced against community views, a whole lot of local knowledge, environmental values and all sorts of other things. So, yeah.
So I'm speaking with local board chair Paul Walden. Now, we talked before about how you're going to share the chair role in 18-month blocks, but one of the other differences with the configuration of this board is you've moved away from having portfolio responsibilities.
Yeah, so that's not just this board, and I have to say that actually on the last board we moved away from having portfolio responsibilities too, although we sort of loosely had them to start with. I mean, they're not provided for in the Local Government Act. It's a notion which, you know, is perfectly relevant in central government, where you will have a minister that's looking after a piece of legislation. That becomes their portfolio, and it dictates, you know, what they can and can't do and how they make their decisions. We don't have that. You know, we've got five board members that have been elected to be involved in all decisions that the board makes. And so we got to a point in the last term where, you know, the parks decisions and the transport decisions were, in fact, all decisions were made in full board meetings, but certainly, you know, all of the portfolio type conversations, all board members were invited to and equally able to participate in. So you did, you know, absolutely, you wound up with some board members that had a particular interest or area of interest which, you know, didn't appeal to me or others, and that's, you know, and we would be happy to empower them to be involved with that. You know, but I think getting a very clear delegation through a resolution from the board, so we arrive at a project, okay, this is what we're going to do, this is the budget parameters, we're going to delegate, you know, John or Kath or Bob or Sharon or whoever, or, you know, any subset of that group to get on and work within these parameters to make sure it happens. So just being a little bit smarter, really. But, you know, look, absolutely, we've got five people that are that want to and are entitled to be involved in every decision the board makes. So,
yeah, but decision making is just one part, though, isn't it? I mean, you've got advocates. advocacy, and you've also got access from the community. So, for example, you know, someone has got a bee in the bonnet about something. How does, you know, with this, how do we stop just everything have to channel through the chair? I mean, how does the community know where to go?
Yeah. Well, so, you know, we will wind up with probably a subset of areas of interest. And so that there will be, you know, a articulation on the local ward website as to what areas of interest different board members have. You know, we are a little bit privileged on Waiheke in that, you know, generally we're reasonably well connected as a community. And so often people will be connecting with me, for example, not necessarily because I've got an interest in a particular matter, but because they know me or know of me, you know, and or, you know, if it's arts or theatre or radio related, you know, someone might be inclined to talk to Sharon because she's had an active involvement in that space. So, you know, we do have that ability here, which you wouldn't have in Howick, you know, where they've got a massive ward of 140,000 people or something ridiculous. Yeah.
And how do we stop things just kind of falling off and being forgotten? Like, for example, the last board put a lot of focus on youth.
Yes.
The work that Bex did there, you know, she had an interest in it, she drove it, she had a specific responsibility for it. So if you've got five people who can be involved in every decision, how are you going to ensure that there's just no decisions made in that area? I mean, how are you going to avoid it being forgotten?
Well, we can't. You know, the reality is that we have a different board. And so the priorities of this board will be different to the priorities of the last board. And so there will be some shift in focus. There will be some areas which were a priority for the last board that won't be. And, you know, it's too early to say where those are going to sit. I think it'll be a tragedy for the focus, the shift off youth, but it will be a different focus. You know, but that is just the reality. But fundamentally, I think there is a separate issue here which we're not going to resolve as a board, and in a sense, you know, we have been quite fortunate over recent years with the level of input that some board members have put in certain areas, and, you know, Sharon exhausts herself doing all sorts of things with the community. Bex worked very hard in that youth space. A lot of that work is actually work that, you know, should be being carried out by council officers, you know, that are employed in that community development space. And these are some of the, I guess, the more strategic structural things that actually need to be corrected. And it's very difficult when you've got community development staff that are based in an office in Auckland and they kind of lose 3 hours travelling here and, you know, not particularly well connected. You know, so there is opportunity to do things differently. And that's, again, is a lot of that strategic, well, I call it strategic, you know, it's whatever. You know, we've actually tried to empower community groups, you know, to be more actively involved in that space, for example. So the Adult Learning Centre has been umbrellaing, and they've employed someone to support the youth voice, and so we've actually got a community organisation that's based here that's connected to the young people in the community that's funded to work in that space, and so we're able to deliver better and more enduring outcomes, but also as a community look at other sources of funding. So potentially if there's an energy and there's an appetite, you know, and I guess from my viewpoint it's really getting to the point that we haven't got really important projects such as empowering our young people, right, that are totally reliant on having a young person on the board, but, you know, we're sort of cohesively empowering an organisation in the community and the young people to actually get on and make it happen. So, you know, there's a space there. It's going to shift. But I don't think it's going to shift to a bad place, but we're just going to have to be mindful as a community and conscious of these things, because there is going to be some, you know, some valuable things that we risk losing. Yeah.
So finally, Paul, have you had any connection with the, you know, with the new mayor, the change, there's kind of a bit of a shift, I suppose, politically in the governing body, and are you getting any kind of sense that there'll be a different relationship between Auckland Council and the local boards?
Yeah, look, absolutely. Certainly the new mayor has been a breath of fresh air. I have to say that I'm quite impressed at his level of engagement and the fashion in which he reads and is on top of everything that's going on around him, so that he's turning up to meetings absolutely informed and over issues and able to have a very robust conversation, which is great. I guess one of the other significant shifts is a number of local board members that in this last election have migrated, for want of a better term, to the governing body, which is great. So you've got a whole lot of perspective from community and local board land, which is now sitting in the governing body. And so there's a lot of discussion from the mayor and the governing body and from the local boards. There was a group of us that did a presentation to them recently, that actually this is the term to get this governance relationship between local boards, communities and the governing body sorted. You know, there's been a lot of, the council's been bogged down in the unitary plan process for the last 3 years, but let's actually make sure that we're going into this long-term plan, local board plan making process with everyone in the tent. And so there's been some very encouraging meetings between the governing body and a willingness from the governing body to engage the local boards through their budget setting and plan making process, and so that it's a journey that we're going on together, and actually we're able to get our aspirations and frustrations aired and hopefully considered and processed. So I think it's a really exciting time for Auckland Council. Obviously there's both an Our Waiheke and a Rodney group which are having some fairly robust conversation with the local government commission, probably off the back of those rumblings over the last couple of years. The Auckland Council Governance Department have instigated an internal governance review, and so they've brought a contractor in who's got an amount of governance experience that's having a look at how the whole thing's working, testing it against the Act and the aspirations of the government, teasing out those frustrations and having a look at seeing what could be done differently. And so I think between the internal governance review and the local government commission conversation which is taking place, we're going to wind up with certainly some clarity where there's presently a whole lot of murky grey areas. We're going to wind up with some shifting of responsibility, and certainly the thrust which myself and the local boards are pushing very hard, and I know it's a view that's well supported by community, is to get some accountability out of council controlled organisations, because actually that's where a hell of a lot of our ratepayers' money is being spent, and that's where a lot of our frustration comes from.
So. Yeah, it sure does, and that's a whole other topic we can talk about for hours. So thank you very much, local board chair Paul Walden.
Good, thank you.
I'll hit you up about
have a lovely day.
I'll hit you up about that pothole outside my house in a minute. All right, so local board chair Paul Walden, thank you very much. And stay tuned, in a moment we're going to be talking to Anne Brown about the events that are happening around the Santa Parade next weekend here on Waiheke Island. This is Island Life on Waiheke Radio.